We're all broken ones. Amen. We are. We are the broken ones, and that's one of the greatest things to realize is how broken we are, and how needful we are for Christ, and how desperate we are for Him, and to just be reminded of that more and more daily. It's so good to be in God's house, and just one little reminder, a little more detail. Dennis, praying for Dennis Caudill. Hiding over here on the left here. He's very humble and quiet over there. But Dennis has his surgery March 3rd, so I'm praying for Dennis. And he's got a big old tree in his yard that kind of needs to be gotten up. So next Saturday, we're going to try to go and take care of that. So encourage you. And if you would, either let Randy or let Sandy or myself know if you're going to go so we can figure if we got 3 people or we got 20 people, hoping to err on the 20 side, okay? And somewhat's big. If you got a wood splitter, that'd be great. You borrow one. I see some of you guys that can just do it with like a maul or like a wedge. I can just see it that y'all can take care of it. So what do we need to do? But here's the plan. We're going to, if you want to meet at 7 at the pier and eat and be down there about 8, or if you come to workouts here and then can come on just whenever you get done. But we'll be start there around 8 a little after down at Dennis's house. He's down on State Line Road, and we'll get you information. Darren may do a reminder with the address toward the end of the week if you'll remind me of that. So just look forward. I hope you can come help us out. Appreciate that so much. But if you would, let's just continue to remember. Our prayer list is long. Just want to continue to remember those that are going through cancer treatment, Miss Linda and Byron, for Graham. We're so glad to have Tim back with us. Where did Tim go? There's Tim right there in his spot, brought his smile back in, but Tim had a heart attack. I'm refusing to call it that word they put sometimes to describe it. He had a heart attack, amen? Because when I have one, I don't want somebody to say like some adjective like it wasn't a big deal, because I think they're all big deals, Tim. Amen. So just glad you're here. Be praying. Families that have lost loved ones. Just praise God for our marriage time we had. Simulcast Friday's night and Saturday morning. Man, I tell you, so much good stuff. So much good stuff. And that's available. Amen. Right, Aaron? We can make that available. It was called Mingling of Souls. And if you would like to, it'd be an excellent thing. I know most of you watch probably some TV, you know, during the week maybe. But set aside some time. It probably would really come out to be about, 4 1-hour sessions probably if you're just watching it and edit it down. But see Aaron and Stacy, they can get you a code. You can go online and basically just see the same thing. So great Bible teaching, great word from God on marriage. So I encourage you to do that. Somebody mentioned a family we were reminded in Sunday school this morning we've been praying for. I encourage if you definitely have a couple that you're praying about or is having some difficulties, please minister to them. All you got to do is give them the website. We'll give you the codes. We'd love to take that out to anyone that needs that. So excited about that and excited to be in God's house. So amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 89. We looked back at verse 9 last Sunday. And we're going to go Psalm 119, verse 89. And if you're physically able, would you stand with me to honor God's word? Looking forward to running in heaven with Brian Slip one day. But he may come supervise Saturday, right, Brian? At least at the breakfast table and be with us. But Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thank you, Lord, right? Man, it's settled. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Now look at verse 92. I want you to focus on verse 92, and really I'm going to try to bring a word out to you as we read it. It says, unless the law, speaking of his word, had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. So think about that word delight. Verse 93 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Quickened means revived me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. So you may be feeling like that for Monday morning work. Amen. Waiting for you tomorrow. I've had those Mondays. Amen. But I will consider thy testimonies. And I have seen an end of all perfection. but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Dear God, we are so thankful for your word. Lord, it's just been reminded once again all through this week how often we miss what your word has for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we dive into your word, that you keep us ever mindful that there is so much here. Lord, the answer to every problem, the answer to every question, even though it may be that you don't have an answer for us right now, but a peace and comfort that we can understand that. Lord, our next steps, what's going to happen, heaven one day, Lord, in the reality of hell, Lord, that we need to share, Lord, because we realize before there can be the gospel, the good news, we have to understand the bad news. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to not miss what your Holy Spirit has for us this morning in your word. But more importantly, Lord, that throughout this coming week, I pray all of us, beginning with me, will be in your word like never before, excited about things we've been missing, but now we're finding from you. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We had started a few Sundays ago just with the idea of what are you missing? It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and specifically in verse 7, the Bible, the Word of God says, so that you come behind in no gift. So God is letting us know that he's got many gifts for us, and one of the greatest gifts, I guess, beyond the gift of life and then abundant life and salvation and new life in Jesus Christ, it's the gift of his Word, amen? Just that we have his Word, that we have something to tell us what's going on, to help us understand why things are happening and what's going on in our world and what he wants us to do, and to talk about love and comfort and what a gift, amen? So we don't want to come behind and miss out on any of his Word that he's got for us. We talked about not missing a walk with him. I find myself more and more in this week, and just found myself trying to minister to people in different places and parking lots and on the phone and stepping out of even the marriage thing, just all the times, and just realizing that it all comes down to walking with him daily. Amen. And you're either walking with him or you're walking with the world. If you're walking in the world, you're walking with Satan. And Satan, once again, is not that red, the devil, the picture that the world has of horns and a pitchfork and a red outfit or the worst evil horror movie that you can see Satan depicting. Now, that's what he is inside. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us, and why we want to walk with God so close with him, because there is, Satan is alive and demons are alive. But it said literally in the Bible that Satan he fell from heaven. He was an archangel. He was up there with Gabriel and the folks we read about and the beautiful pictures we have. I mean, he has a great deal of beauty. He transforms himself into an angel of light. That's why we get messed up. I dare say there's not hardly anybody, young or old, in here, if some evil beast was attacking in your house, that you wouldn't run to something about it. But that's not the picture of Satan. Man, he's very deceptive. He's a liar, and he gives us appearance, and he transforms himself, and we need to daily walk with him. We talked about not missing the water, and just as God parts the Red Sea, I just continually see him in your lives and in my life, how he parts the waters. Amen? Amen? Brooks got a lot of stuff going on in her life right now, and she's got a full-time nursing job and a full-time wife job and full-time with the youth here, and she's going to school also to add on to her degree. So a lot of stress this week. And went by to see Brooke a minute and for something else, and got to pray with her for a moment. And I was so thankful as she said, I'm just going to get some sleep, Daddy. And the next morning I text her and I said, Brooke, I prayed for you. She said, I feel much better. I needed some sleep. But literally what happened for Brooke was, hey, once again, he parted the waters. Amen? What looked like an impossible situation. I see some heads nodding. What can look like an impossible situation? How can I get through the night? How can I get through this problem? How can I get through this conversation? I mean, right, but and he parts the waters. And there's no explanation other than that, because nothing changed in it. Nothing had changed on the to-do list and the stress list. But what had changed is that he had parted the waters just again. We talked about not missing the watching with him in prayer there in the Garden of Eden. And we talked about not missing the windows of heaven opened up. And thank you for continuing to give a testifies. You know, we're kind of in our 10 week of just wanting to stop robbing God and start trusting him, believing him to give. Had somebody on the men's trip, we were going along, and this is a great testimony, he said, Pastor, he said, you know, there was a time that I'd really gotten slack, like that term, haven't we all done that before? I got slack in my giving. But this is the greater testimony in that, but I started really having some issues, some needs started coming up. And God drew me back and said, man, I better get my giving. I better get my finances ordered and divided up the way God wants to help me with the problems I've got. And the testimony simply is that God honored that and does that often. I often testify to you. I remember years ago, my pastor saying that if you're, he's bolder than I am. He said, if you would like to commit to come and start tithing for 30 days, to come stand down front, you know, and the deal was you start tithing, and at the end of 30 days, if it wasn't the right thing to do, he'd take you out for a steak dinner. I was sitting there that day, and still this day, who was going to go to the preacher and say, I tried tithing 30 days, it didn't work on the steak dinner? Well, you know, but it sounded good. But we did that, and I remember, though, what God did in my life. It wasn't that, and some people testify, and I pray he does this for you, that he opens those windows of heaven and the blessing is more money to give and serve him. But often that's not the case, amen? But what I remember is I had a notebook on my shelf and I had budget written on it, you know? So I kept all the numbers in that, you know, that's that sometimes that depressing information, you know, what's coming in, what's going out. And I remember sitting there one night during that time, and it wasn't that God was just like opening the windows of heaven and like, hey, everything's great. But all of a sudden, one night, I just took it off the shelf, and I took that little tab that said budget, and the little piece around, I flipped it over, and I wrote blessings on it, and I put it back in. And Marty, it changed forever how I looked at the whole idea of finances. So don't miss the windows, because I'm telling you, he's opened more windows in my life, my family's life, through obedience of just wanting to serve him and obedience of giving and tithing than that has anything to do with money, okay? Anything at all. So don't miss the windows, because he says there in Malachi, go back and read it, he wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. So last week we began to look at the idea of not missing his word. And flip back with me to the beginning of Psalm 119. We start about verse 9. Just kind of give you the idea of what we had last Sunday, and then we'll jump to where we're at today. When we looked at verse 9 there in Psalm 119, it ended up with those words. Look at the end of the verse. It says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the idea being that we want our lives to be according to his word. Amen? Amen? That's what we need. That's what we desperately need. We want it to be according to his word. But every week and every day, we can take an inventory and say, now, what in my life is not according to his word? Amen? Every one of us right now could take that inventory again and say, hey, man, I applied. Some of you may have tithed the first time this morning. Some of you may have come to Sunday school and you haven't been coming. But just something has happened this week and you're saying, hey, I can add one thing on that I think I've get my life more according to your word. But every one of us could say, there's still that thought pattern that's coming. I'm still disobedient with this. Might still be something you're looking at on the internet. It might still be an inappropriate conversation that you're having. And you say, preach, what you mean by that? Folks, we need to be careful, because understand that if we want things to be according to God's word, then it applies that everything that comes in our life is according to his word. And there's a lot of danger out there, just conversation, the words and the interactions you're having with other people. Amen? There really is. I don't have it right now with me, but we were in the marriage simulcast, and Terry had shared a neat little thing, and I probably won't say it right, Terry, but to get the gist of it, it was a neat little thing that went along with marriage, and it basically said, and it had like my boyfriend marked out, my husband is not allowed to talk to other women. If he is lonely, he needs to get on his knees to talk to Jesus, or he might meet Jesus soon. Amen? Amen? We need to be careful who we talk to. We need to be careful who we're around. We need to be careful. Amen? And I'm not sure who that was for this morning. That wasn't in my notes, but you're welcome. Amen? Some of your heads were getting a little lower. I'm just joking. But we found that then in Psalm 119, verse 72, when we find that in Psalm 119 is all about God's words, we find out that in Psalm 119, verse 72, that it says, the law of my mouth, or in other words, his word is better than thousands of gold and silver. So the idea last Sunday was simply is that his word is better. And if you'll make more of your life just like Preacher Jeff. Me and Daniel have the same greatest need, okay? And it happens to be the same greatest need there. We need a closer walk with him. We need to more be according to his word. And we'll find the more our lives are according to his word, the better it's going to be. How do I know that? Based on just testimony or what you've said in my life? No, the Bible says so. It's going to be better. So isn't that exciting to know your boss comes in and he starts giving you all this stuff and you're fussing about something or going crazy again about something, or you might be that crazy boss, or you might be that boss and your employees that way. But we can always know, hey, that God's got a better word. I'm so thankful that every time that I have to hear some of the garbage that I do on the news in relation to politics and our world and what's going on in people's lives, and sometimes, be honest with you, talking to some of you, I'm excited to know, hey, he's got a better word. He's got a better word that I can go dig into and that he can help to guide me, get my mind back where it needs to be so I can continue to help other people. I mean, it's better. It is better and be according to his word. But what we find as we look this morning and read that passage from 89 to 96, we find not only is his word better, but it uses the term there that his word is my delight. So it's better and it's a delight. So for a little bit this morning, I want us to think about this idea of his word being our delight. Now the interesting thing about this verse, this particular verse, ties in and gives us a warning. It connects two things that normally you might not put together, but we need to see them clearly. So look with me very carefully in verse, if you would, as we read about the delights, what was the verse in verse 92? Now look at that again. It says, unless thy law, or in other words, his word, had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. Look at the connection. There's a warning there. What God is saying and what the psalmist is relating from God is, my goodness, if I had not been delighting, God, in your word, I was going to get in all kind of trouble because of my afflictions. Now let's think about this a moment. Every one of you right now, you have afflictions that are going in your life. Amen? We all have afflictions. They change at times. They're different at times. Sometimes they're more intense. But we have problems. Amen? We all have these afflictions. So the word of God is telling us that by delighting in his word, it will keep us from perishing in our afflictions. That gets my attention. That gets anybody else's attention. A warning from God saying, now here's the key. You need to be, now notice what he's saying. He says delighting. And we'll talk a minute about that idea of what delighting means, but that's pretty extreme. He doesn't say just the word. He doesn't say reading the word. He doesn't say obeying the word. He goes to the extreme of saying, here's the warning. You're going to get consumed and your afflictions are going to take over. And you have all kinds of trouble if you're not delighting in my word. So that tells me that I need to understand a little bit when God is talking about delighting, man, what's he really mean? What is delighting? How can we practically understand this word? What's he mean by delighting? And the best way I could think to explain it, and ask the Holy Spirit explain it to me, I started thinking about words that I delight and that you delight. And think about it for a moment. It begins with the baby, amen? It begins with the baby and a child's getting old enough in the first words. What's it going to be, mama or dada? But think about the delight that everyone that you have with a child. Your child, grandchild, niece, nephew, adopted child, whatever, just your best friend, family. But don't we delight in it? Oh, and you know, it's amazing how much we delight. And then they start talking and they make little statements. And, you know, your wife calls you up or the husband calls or grandma calls. Oh, you won't believe what they said. And you get home and you start delighting. And, oh, say it again. Try to get them to say it again. So we delight for some years and they get 19 and older. And sometimes you don't delight in all the words. Amen. But don't we do that? We delight in what they say. And I'll be honest, still, the older our children get, though, or even in friendships or relationships, there's just times of conversation where we delight in it. Amen? Sometimes after a long day, you might be like me. Man, I'm just so anxious to get back to family. You know, get to be able to delight in just listening to their words, because the world can, man, you can hear so much stuff during the day and bring you down, and so much foul language and so much negative stuff, and you just delight in it. I remember, and I'll date myself, but when I went off to college, I had, before I left college for the last couple of years of high school years, me and Sandra were dating, and I thought she was going to get to stay out here. She had to go back in the back, didn't she? So y'all can really, you tell her all the bad stuff I say, so how about relating this? So during those couple of years that we dated in high school, I was just in love with her. I'm sure I loved her about 200 times more than she loved me, okay? And I remember every morning we would do this. Every morning there was people would hang out at the front of school in the lobby. You know, gather friends and hang out and talk, you know. And I'd done that routine, Brother William. But we got to dating, you know, and we was kind of like, I guess, new now falling in love. So there was a hallway. You went down this long hallway. And then as you went down the long hallway, you actually made another dog leg that I can't make back there. And it was just a door with glasses out the back of the school. And we just, every morning, we just kind of gather and we just talk. And I just delighted in being with her. I delighted in hearing her words. And I mean, it's just a delight. Amen. It's just awesome, wonderful. Well, then I headed off to school, went away to school. And hey, there ain't no cell phones. Y'all all right? There ain't no cell phone. I bought one of them bag phones my first job in the show. No cell phone. Long distance, okay? Long distance. My mom and dad gave me one of them phone cards. That's the call in, hey, I'm in big trouble, or hey, I got car trouble. You know, I'm following me. They ain't no getting on the phone and talking to her. I had like an old post office set up. I had one of the oldest dorms in school. I was there, and they had those little boxes. And I'm telling you, every day, Elliot, I make my way up there, take my little key, and I'd open that thing up. And most days it was empty, amen? We weren't much writers, but every once in a while, Santa would write me a note. Now, some of you know the truth is I came home every weekend that I was in college to see her. Every weekend. But I'd get that letter, and I just delight in every word. Young people, y'all spoiled. Amen? Spoiled. But I can remember just delighting in that. I can remember getting the yearbook and you know, you got the special spot for her to write, and then you want your best friends, you know, to write in your yearbook and just delighting in what people say. Amen? And so I don't know what all your delights are, but for a moment I want you to think and just maybe do a little remember yourself. What are those things, that those words that you delight in now? That you just, I mean, just, it's so special in life. I think about how I delight in words that I can remember loved ones that have said that are going to heaven. Amen? And we repeat them often, you know. Grandma, Grandpa said this. Oh, I delight in sharing that. Mom, Dad said this. Amen? How we delight in that. So I began to think about God's word and think about what he meant. I start falling into great conviction and saying, oh, heaven forbid how much I delight in so many things. But God, do I really delight in your word? And that's the question for all of us. Are we really delighting in his word? Because he's telling us, you must be delighting in my word, or you're going to be consumed in your afflictions that are coming. And so I was really convicted about that. And I thought about in the delight, how much I delight when someone says a certain, you know, somebody will say, let's go here, and how you light up, I'm ready. Or let's go do this. Sandra had worked late yesterday and was picking up Eric for a minute at school and hitting at the house and talking about eating. And I said, what's your favorite restaurant? And he said, hey, he called the name. Man, I was ready to go. I said, let's go. And I was, man, torn up about how the pleasant words might be. We met Sandra like on 218 or by phone. Honey, we gonna go out eat something good. But you know, we delight in that, don't we? Somebody says something, we delight in it. But do we really do that with God's word? Just in the prayer room a few moments ago, it was so powerful. We began to pray. And I invite you in this hallway down here in the back, we gather and have prayer every Sunday morning before we get started. That's a lot of times when we're late coming out. But I'll never forget, I got to delight. Marty Stansel was just standing there, and he was delighting in the words that he had heard his brother say. This is his brother recently, and his brother was talking about the Lord. And well, I mean, it was just, I was just, and I'm thinking about my message. And how else is it, Marty? You know what? You know why Marty's delighting in his brother's word? What's special about that? The special is that Marty's brother had been a drug addict from about 16 years old to his early 50s. Been clean for 3 years now, and they're sitting there eating at some restaurant, and Marty says, I'm just delighting right in that What he's found is his brother, oh God, his brother has found that delighting in God's word and hearing and obeying his word and living his word has allowed him no longer to be consumed with the affliction of drugs. And I like that, y'all. So what's your affliction? And so what delighting in the word means, and what it means is just absolutely just that same as I related, the any words that are precious to you, any things that are precious to you, we need to be and say and be honest with God today and say, God, that's not how my word is in my life. Some of you parents, rightfully so, probably drew up when I was joking with the kids. But you know one thing good about kids, they probably didn't catch me joking part, amen? I mean, you know, just because to delight in it has so many answers. Look in verse 41. Look back in verse 41 of Psalm 119. Look in verse 41. Let's pull out some things that you can, hooks that you can put up on this and bring it together. In Psalm 119, 41, the Bible says, let thy mercies come also unto me. The mercy, so you're in afflictions. His mercy is his love in action. So you ought to underline that word mercies and the word come is saying that, first of all, I want you to have it, to delight in his word. You need to keep those mercies coming, and you're going to delight in them. Oftentimes, when you first, if you've not been delighting in his word, you'll get in his word, and there'll be great conviction of sin. There'll be great correction, and comfort's coming. The delight is coming, but you, I mean, part of the delight is God showing you, my goodness, you're part of the cause of the afflictions in your life because of sin in your life. And before you can get to the delighting parts, you got to understand what's going on. Amen? He says, oh Lord, even thy salvation, look, according to thy word. There's that phrase again that we've been looking. We think about it being better. Look in verse 42. It says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. So you've underlined mercies there. I'd underline to answer him that reproaches me. Listen, the world is continually reproaching and calling you out and calling you to do something you shouldn't do and trying to confuse you. And what the Word of God will do, it will help us be able to answer all those things that are coming. And then you should underline trust in your Bible because that's the key. You're saying, the more I trust in His Word, the more I trust in His Word, the more of a delight it comes. The less I trust in His Word, the less I'm in His Word, there's a whole dependence there. It brings delight. Look, if you would, in verse 58. Psalm 119, verse 58. I got to pause here before I read that verse and tell you this. At one point this week, I was studying. I don't remember what day it was, maybe Thursday. And it was all these connections where all these verses were coming together in Psalm 119. I want to tell you, I want to talk about a delight, but it was an overwhelming delight. There were so many connections, not only for trying to prepare a message, but so many connections for every conversation, every problem I was hearing, all the things going on in my life and church life. The connections were so overwhelming, there was no way I could ever outline them or note them or get them to you. I was delighting in that there's so much power. I was reminded with the marriage simulcast, and so often happens, and I was taught, I didn't mention it this time, I should have, but one of the very first times I ever went to a marriage retreat, and I'll be honest with you, listen, busy week, a lot going on, thinking about this, and I thought, God, I got so much to do, you know, and then I'm thinking, I've been to so many of these, and I'm thinking, but I want to go and support what God's leading you to do. Y'all, sometimes I'm just stupid. Would anybody be honest? Brother Johnny told us this a couple years ago. We won choice. We won word away from stupid. Sometimes I'm just stupid. So I arrive with that thought, you know, I'm here as the pastor as I should be. And I'm telling you, man, I'm delighting. I can't tell you how many. I probably got 7 or 8, 9, 10 pages of notes just taken. And I'd be taking those notes, and I remember, though, back at the first time I went to one, I think it was at came near what church in Charlotte, and the guy got up and he said, let me help y'all out. He said, most everybody in your church that really needed to be here because their marriage was falling apart, they didn't come. He said, most of you came because you want your marriage to grow. And he said this, and as he said that, I'm thinking, yeah. I'm thinking about this morning. I continually was in trying, as you delight in his word, you're sharing his word with others. And so I get to the point, not that I want somebody to come hear me preach, but I want somebody to come hear God's word. So I'm sitting in the marriage simulcast, and I'm thinking, oh God, I was in the parking lot just reading. This is exactly what this couple needs. And I'm thinking about this word here. Somebody says this problem's going on. Oh, this is what they need. So what that tells y'all is this. That's why we have to delight in God's word more than any. You should make it your goal. I'm gonna delight in God's word, bring more of his word, more to the table, and it's almost like a competition in your family and work. I'm gonna delight in his word so much that I'm continually gonna be sharing it and excited about it and telling how it's helping my affliction. I'm telling you, that's the gospel message we have to get out. But that don't sound to me and look to me like the average Christian most of the time. Amen? Not delighting in his word. But Psalm 119, verse 58. 119:58 said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Oh, wait, here's an indicator, amen? Be merciful to me according to thy word. So see, you've got you some hooks here. So if you want to delight in his word, you've got to realize first there's a warning. I'm glad God gave us to us at first because we all relate to problems and needs. But then he told us that it was his mercies. It was trust, and now he sent us our whole heart. So just as the Bible says that you should love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul, in John 1:1, it begins a section of talking about how the Word became flesh. So it means if you love God, you love his Word. And your whole heart has to be so in love with this Word that you don't want anything apart from his Word and the guidance of his Word to be found in your heart and then coming out of your mouth in your life. In verse 59, it goes on to say, I thought on my ways and turned my feet in thy testimonies. Let's read that together again. I thought on my ways and turned my feet in thy testimonies. Word. Y'all, I'm convinced that Satan has got this world so fast and so busy. I mean, you know, and we do. And I'm not as bad as folks older than me, the good old days. And we know they aren't quite as good as we want to say they were. But I tell you something about days gone by. There weren't as many distractions. Amen? Things weren't near as fast. There weren't as many demands. And I think one of the greatest problems that we have, and I want to give you an answer. I think why that we, this pastor included, often do not delight in his word as we should is that we do not take time to get alone with the Lord and think about our ways. We spend far too much time thinking about others' ways, talking about others' ways. But here is where we take time, and when we think about our ways, it's almost an automatic that there will be things that God shows, and we must turn our feet. I love that. It's my way is going this way. I'm not delighting his word. I'm against his word. I'm not in his word. I'm not being obedient to his word. I'm not sharing his word. I'm not doing what I should, but I can turn, and that's what the word repent means. And I can turn my feet. I can turn, and I can go another way. So then later in the day and week, when I look at my ways again, I can say, you know, I was headed back, but then I turned back, and it's this continual thing that has to do with our heart. In verse 60, it said, I make haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. Oh, it doesn't stop there. Look in verse 76. In Psalm 119:76, the Bible says, let I pray thee. So you begin to give your heart, and prayer becomes connected with this delighting in his word. It says, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. So as you delight in his word, and if you truly are, it says, being a servant, and you know what, God often, when he uses that word in the Bible, or not often, but every time, you know what he means? He's talking to a servant. So are you his servant? But he says, it's for my comfort. Our comfort comes from his word. Our comfort comes from delighting in his word. I'm so thankful. I can't change Tim's heart attack, but it was obvious the day Tim arrived at the hospital that he had comfort based on what he knew and the promises of God's word and claiming them. It was obvious there in the hospital. It's obvious now. But you're tracking with me? Your comfort is connected with what you delight in, which must be the word of God. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just really think that you wanted us to stop very suddenly right there. And Lord, I pray that you help us to take a moment right now and let each of us think about those words you said, that I thought on my ways. Dear Father, you know I'm recalling right now hearing the statement this week, Lord, dear God, and I think it's so true. I thank you, dear God, I thank you for the person who said it, that in church time we don't want any silence. If there's a moment of silence, we want somebody to play some music, or we want something to be interjected, or we want to change the order because we don't want any awkward silence. But dear Father, help every one of us, beginning with me, for a moment just to reflect on our ways. Lord, you said, I thought on my ways. And turned my feet unto thy testimonies, or unto thy word. Heavenly Father, we give you this time. Lord, this is an opportunity, an invitation to turn. Lord, every one of us here have ways in our life that, Lord, it's obvious we're not delighting in your word. Lord, there's disobedience. We take it for granted. Lord, there's so much of your word. I'm reminded, even studied this week, that I didn't know, that I've not made a part, that I delight in it like the things we saw. So, Lord, this is a time of turning. I pray for that one that needs to turn from their self and their way and thinking and turn to you in salvation. Turn from sin and self and turn to you. Salvation is a gift, but it requires more than belief. It requires on faith acting on that belief. And I pray this morning, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, this would be that morning, that you turn from that wicked way you're walking. And it may not appear wicked, but it's wicked in that it's you're headed to hell. And you can turn this morning. How about it, Christian? Is it time to turn your way from being a church-going and trying to do okay person to being a fully devoted follower of Jesus? What things in your way has the Spirit just been pricking you as we've had this moment of silence, and you just want to come down to the altar and tell him you want to turn your entire life and way of thinking away from your way to his way? And maybe God's really laid on your heart to make that next commitment. He's calling you to commit to be a servant here in this church family. You know he's called you here. Maybe it's not been your plans and where you thought, but you're sensing this morning that it's time to make a commitment and time to begin to serve more and time to delight more in what he has in his word for you here. We open our doors to his church to receive that. Lord, help us during this invitation to continue to think about, convict us of our ways, and let us turn to your ways, Lord, and help us to leave here delighting in your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Deborah, would you lead us?
As we stand, turn to page 596.